Are we live, by the way?
Live.
You see, guys, they're making fun of me. This guy here, this guy, I can just run him and double him up 10 times on the field, and he's telling me that I can play over 75
Listen,
in Florida.
Not right now.
Oh, not right
not
now.
Not right now. So I did.
All right, let's do in front of everybody. I did 10 blocks.
I did 1 hour spinning.
Spinning okay. What? Spinning the Bilardino?
That's it.
What's spinning?
Spinning is like on a bike.
A stationary, right?
On a bike.
Stationary bicycle. That you have to go, you have to put force and you have to go up and down, up and down.
Gotcha.
And then you have to sprint.
And who said that? You say that.
1 hour, I never sweated so much.
Really?
And then the next day I did 1 hour running.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday I did 1 hour bicycle.
Mm.
So, so right now.
In a full sprint, who would win between you two on a field?
I would have a rope and I try to cut him with me and still.
You think you would beat him in a sprint?
He's gonna run.
I'm not a sprinter, but okay. If you're gonna go, if you want to,
No,
he's I don't know.
but
I think I could beat him.
Oh.
But,
by the way,
but I'm not a sprinter. But if you want to go on a marathon run. Anytime.
We have a field of boxes.
Listen to me. Listen
any
to me.
Miles you want to, gentlemen? You put a number.
Okay, first of all.
Why are you ignoring what he said?
You're backing down from the challenge. On a marathon? I'm not here to run
any
marathons.
Any miles.
How many miles?
It could be.
How many miles?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
2 miles, I'll give it to you. 2 miles, I'll
give it to you. Can you take him in 2 miles?
2 miles.
Shake hands.
And then we'll have everybody in the comments.
Oh, it's not
everybody in the
anyway.
Comments vote. Who do you think would win? And also, what's the age difference between you two?
2 years.
It doesn't matter.
No, he's younger. He's younger than me.
10 years.
Che cacchio dici?
Wait, 10 years.
I'm 45.
How old are you?
He said it feels like 45. It's 20 years difference.
64 in August.
Right, so
63. So three years.
Okay, it's not that bad. All right, we'll have a go on.
Oh, don't start with that. By the way, first of all, welcome to the IFTV podcast. We have two special guests. I mean, we have Mr. Producer. It's always with us. But tonight, the special guest is Mr. Joe Gulino. Unfortunately, he's an Inter fan. He's our best friend, but he's an Inter fan. I mean, we hate Inter fans, but it's one of the few exceptions.
Yeah,
one of the few exceptions.
Why are you speaking
for
everyone?
You know, we
let Peter around sometimes.
Yeah, we have to like Joe because it's
one of the top.
Hey, what
happened to Peter?
Peter's on honeymoon.
He's married.
Which island is he in?
Yeah, I don't know where he is.
Aruba.
But it's already a week.
He's on a cruise.
The honeymoon is not over, Paisa.
Oh, okay.
You know, Inter keeps winning and the honeymoon is not over.
It's extending it.
It's extending it.
Do you think he's going to be allowed to come back to the podcast?
Maybe from Skype.
Yeah, we have to check the bar first if they're going to be allowing them. You
so
know
for
what
those
I mean?
That didn't see, Peter got married. We all were there. New Year's. It was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
You had too good of a time, I think.
I had too good of a time.
Yeah.
But at least I didn't get drunk.
That's what you think. I don't know about that.
The way you were dancing.
No. I didn't get drunk.
No, the way that you two and Matt.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but you had a lot of Inter fans too. The camera guy was an Inter fan, so he was antagonizing you.
Yeah.
You don't even remember that.
Yeah, he was antagonizing me. He said, I mean.
Can we show one time how he dances?
We'll pop it up. Okay. We'll pop it up. I have a good video of him. Guys, let's get into this because the Serie A is crazy right now. We were just talking behind the scenes. We got six teams that are within 5 points of fourth place in Champions League. And I feel like I got the top three cemented, but I genuinely have no idea who's going to take the fourth spot because it feels like nobody wants it at this point considering some of the results.
Well, listen, Fiorentina, we thought that it was the fourth placed on the fourth place. And then Italiano's team, for a couple weeks, they haven't put it on the field. I mean, technically, those are they're winning the really rough the rough games, but this time it's not going their way. So Italiano is there. It's fourth. I think Bologna is right behind. Roma is right there. Lazio not far behind.
And
Bologna. So it's Atalanta. So it's a lot of teams that they're going to be fighting for the fourth place. And hopefully, with our standing, we're going to have a fifth place on our coming to the Italian Championship. So we're going to have five teams going to the Champions League.
At the moment, we're first in the coefficient points. Yeah. And the first and second for best leagues go through. But listen, we have a very tough Champions League group for the teams that went through in the group stage. So we can't count our chickens before they hatch. So I don't think we could even consider getting five. Yeah, what do we think? Who do we think is going to get? How do you feel about the fourth place spot in Italy?
The way they're going, I mean, Bologna, they win 3-4 in a row, and then the last two games they lost. Fiorentina lost the last game. They won 2-3 games before that. Roma is disappointed. They win a couple of games, but they're too dependent on Lukaku and Dybala. Lazio, again, they win, they lose. So it's I can't tell you. I don't know who's going to be there at the end, but it could be any of those teams that you mentioned.
Lazio is surprising because I thought they were worse off. I remember like a few weeks ago, they were like 12th or 13th place, right? So I thought they were so far away. They're the ones that probably benefited the most from Roma and Atalanta tying.
Yeah.
Lazio's 3 points away from a fourth spot. Considering the disaster of the season that they had in Serie A, it's not too bad that they are putting this together. Mike, what about you? You look like you're thinking hard on that side.
Yeah, because I would like to think Napoli would take it, but just their track record, it's not looking likely. And knowing Sarri's track record, he's going to do everything possible to just focus on the top four, which he knows best. So if I was a betting man, I'm not. Thank God. I'd put Lazio for the fourth spot.
Well, he already said they have Bayern Munich number one in the Champions League.
That's
so
what I'm saying.
I don't think you need to try to go out in that one. Yeah. And then in the Coppa Italia, he came out after their win this weekend saying that he said, you already know what I think about the Coppa Italia. I don't like it. We don't care about it. But the only reason why we do care about it is because we're playing the derby. We're playing against Roma in the Coppa Italia. So they're forced to care about it. But as Mike said, they're calculated. I also wanted to believe in Napoli. And then after this round, because I was like, I said, you know what? They're going to have to put things together eventually, right? De Laurentiis put his hands up. He said, I made all the mistakes. Don't blame the coach. Don't blame the players. It was all me that screwed it up. Letting go Spalletti, not replacing Kim Min-jae properly. And they looked like they were going to come out and spend some money. They brought Mazzocchi, which didn't work out. And his debut, we'll get into that. They're bringing in Samardzic, who seems like he should be official real soon, which I think will help them out in the midfield. But it's still defensively that they have problems. Everybody in the world now wants Dragosin. It seems like he's going to go to Bayern. They're talking maybe Buongiorno for Napoli in the back. But even with that, the team just looks like it's messed up. When you screw up the preseason and you screw up the way that the team started, it feels like they can't get the momentum back, even if they do bring in players.
I don't think you need to find too many excuses for Napoli. I think Napoli, they have themselves to blame. They were too much on a high since they won the Campionato. And I think their level of concentration has dropped because just one player departing from the squad is not an excuse for you to show this kind of a poor standing and poor quality of a game. I mean, aside from Spalletti, you've been given a team that is exactly the same team that overperformed everybody, not just by 4 or 5 points. They really blew everybody out of the field. And now all of a sudden, Napoli, they find themselves on the 8 or 9 spot. I'm not sure which spot they are. 9. Okay. So I don't think Napoli's going to... Who said that I would like to believe that Napoli's going to claim?
I kept thinking that they're going to.
Yeah, they have the team, they have the personality, and they have the players that they can do that. But for me, it would be a fight between Bologna and Atalanta and Fiorentina, those three.
Antonio makes a good point, though, about the defense. Yes, it is the problem, but also in attack. Their last four games, they scored 0 goals and conceded 9. They're 22 points off of where they were last year at this point. So you're right, though. It's not just that. And now Osimhen's out for AFCON.
And
so
Anguissa.
They're missing that. Anguissa is out as well. So it's this momentum. And to lose 3-0 against Torino, I know Torino's good. Torino changed things around ever since Udic plays the two strikers up top, but not to lose 3-0 in 10 men.
Listen, Napoli is not going anywhere. And wasn't it ADL that came out last week and said it's all my fault? Well, okay, I blame you, and it's all ADL's fault.
Yeah.
When was the last time, and maybe I don't remember, but maybe Joe remembers, I don't think you remember, Mazzarri. When was he a winner, this guy? Do you remember him?
Well, was Spalletti a winner, though?
Joe, do you remember Mazzarri ever won anything?
But it's not just you can't put this on Mazzarri.
He's not a winner.
Okay, so who else are you gonna bring in?
He's not a winner. He screwed it up from the beginning. Bring Conte. If you wanted to bring
Conte
somebody,
Conte didn't want the job.
No, from the beginning. Oh. Not in the middle. From the beginning. Mm. You know. But then EDIA, who wants to work with the EDIA? The coaches that go there, they're not treated the right way. You know, Ancelotti, who's a gentleman, who's coached some of the best teams in the world, he ran away from Napoli. So there is a problem in Napoli, okay? He finally found somebody that he had the chemistry. It was beautiful. Spalletti had built something beautiful. And what did he do? At the beginning, that's it. He messed it up. There's no more chemistry. They don't believe in themselves anymore. They can't score a goal. I mean, you got Kvaratskhelia. The guy is unbelievable. You got Osimhen still there. And you cannot score a goal in four games?
Caetano.
It's just they don't believe in themselves anymore.
Reminder, I remember
when that's Mazzarri. That's Mazzarri. Because that's the coach who has to make these guys believe in themselves and believe that they can play and they can still win a game.
Well, Rudy Garcia couldn't do it either. Yeah, but Mazzarri's first 10 games, 6 losses, 3 ties, and only 1 win, first 10. But also one other thing about Spalletti, because you brought that up. If you remember back in the summer, we talked about why Spalletti leave. He said he needed a break, but then, of course, then he takes a national team job. I've seen this debate. From what I've heard, and we said this back in the summer, it was an argument between De Laurentiis and Spalletti. This is what I heard, that it was over Spalletti not being happy that he activated the automatic clause. He wanted more money in his contract because he won the Scudetto. Mm-hmm. He didn't think that the contract that he already agreed to previously was right. And we had a debate on here. Do you pay Spalletti? Do you not? I think those are to bet. If you believe in that story, if you believe that that is the reason, they made a massive mistake.
I have an issue with that, with what you just said right now. You know, those are bureaucratic, something that we can write on the paper, we can read and write and rewrite or just remake or rethink about it. But the two most underperforming players in Napoli right now are the two best players that they had last year, is Kvaratskhelia and Osimhen. Come on. You are playing at that level. You showed what you're capable to do. All of a sudden, you turn the switch off. I don't need you to perform at the same level of last year, but at least put some numbers on the board, Anto, man.
The forwards, they need confidence. If they don't have confidence in themselves, they cannot score. I remember that what Mourinho said about Lukaku. Lukaku needs to be loved. If you go into a team and he knows that the people around him are with him and he's loved, the guy, he can't stop scoring. I mean, look what he did at Roma. He scores every game he has scored.
Are you trying to say that Napoli, they don't like anymore Osimhen and Kvaratskhelia? They love it. They love those two guys.
That's not what I'm saying.
It's just the confidence. It's the environment.
You're saying.
And yeah. I think once you start off on the wrong foot, this is what I've heard from top level players. We had Giuseppe Rossi who said, if you start a preseason, you start with the wrong idea, it's hard to get back on the bike and put things together. So
I agree with that.
To be honest, I think it's a lot of things. Let's say if Spalletti did stay, I think it would be extremely difficult for them to do a repeat. And I think everything aligned for Napoli last season, first of all.
Mike, it would not be like this.
I know.
Yeah, it would not be like this.
Let me just finish. Yeah, of course, it wouldn't be like this. But if you have Spalletti leaving, the person, first of all, before Spalletti came, this team and Spalletti also, you can include, they were just a bunch of players. They didn't win anything. None of them won anything prior to this. And now Spalletti came.
They got close a couple of times.
But they didn't win. Regardless of what happened, Spalletti gave these group of talented players confidence. They were under the radar. No one knew Kvaratskhelia. Osimhen was known, whatever, but he didn't have a fantastic season like last season. Kim did incredible, replaced Koulibaly. Manolas left. Rahmani played great with him. Everything just fit perfectly. Then Spalletti left. A lot of people saying, there's also things saying about Spalletti, he didn't want to stay. There was also things about him that maybe it couldn't be done again, which I kind of believe a little bit too. I think everything aligned. Inter didn't play well. Juve didn't play. Milan didn't play well last season also. We got to include that also. I know Napoli won by a landslide, but that stuff is also part of this.
I don't believe that.
What don't you believe?
I don't believe that Spalletti thought that he couldn't do anything more with this team.
Maybe not that, but I think
he had a great team.
I'm not saying that, but I do think Spalletti thinks, if I don't win the Scudetto again, it's not going to look the best for me.
I don't think that.
Me.
No, that's not true. They didn't win in 33 years. Napoli fans would not have been mad that they didn't go back to back for Scudetto.
I'm not saying mad. I'm talking specifically on Spalletti. That plus ADL plus the pay raise, I think it was a mixture of many things on everything like that. So then you get someone like Rudy Garcia to fill in the shoes of Spalletti with Kim already left, and to get a coach like Garcia who has to replicate, and if you don't replicate that, You look like automatic failure. He's in a few months. Then Mazzarri comes, already bad track record. Mazzarri, when's the last time he coached? He's not a winner also. It was a recipe for disaster that was bound to happen.
So like a month or two before,
I think it was difficult.
When Napoli were winning the Scudetto, about a month before, it was already wrapped up. Everything was done. I was told, and remember, we talked about it here on the podcast. I was told that there was a problem between them two and that he would be gone. And I sat there, I said, no, Spalletti is never going to leave. And it was over the money. So that's my idea. I believe what I was told on that front, that it was, he was not happy that they automatically triggered his clause. Yeah. And then he wanted an increase in money and maybe improving the rest of the team.
I think partly that, but I don't think it was only that. Mm-hmm. I think that was a part of it, but not the whole situation.
Okay, let's move on. One other story was Mazzocchi. He had an incredible, we were ready to praise him. Mm-hmm. It was a really good feel-good story. 26 years old, he finally made his debut in the Serie A. 28, he signs for the team that he was born in Naples. Yeah, he loves Napoli. He grew up supporting them. At 12 years old, he worked as a fruit vendor to help support his family and always supported the team. 4 minutes in to his debut, he gets subbed in at a halftime. He makes one of the dumbest challenges I've ever seen in my life. Maybe too excited, the moment got to him. Studs up, sent off, red card.
Right to the thigh.
Foot
that was
bathroom.
A high foot.
When I saw it, I said, oh, this guy here is just...
And they play Salernitana next, the team he came for, so he's not going to be playing that game.
Jeez. Yeah. He was always going to be a rotation, but anyway, let's move on. Which team you want to talk about?
Let's talk about Inter.
Why not? Already off the bat, we have a special guest, Joe.
We have a special guest, Joe. We had a pre-conversation while I was driving back from Manhattan, and we had a few things that we exchanged a bunch of opinion, but we found ourselves one of the few times we found ourselves agreeing with what's going on right now.
I think that's the best 6:30 a.m. game I've ever woken up to watch.
The AC Milan, you mean?
No.
The AC, 6:30 a.m. was AC Milan.
No, it was Inter.
Inter.
It was Inter Verona.
Oh, on Monday. I'm saying on Sunday morning was AC Milan.
Okay.
Saturday.
So we're talking about Inter.
Yeah. I think it's the best game I've ever watched, woken up to watch. Especially when it went 1-1 and Verona came back. And I said, my God. I felt to myself, I said, if Inter is serious about going for the Scudetto, they have that team spirit. They have the depth. They're going to score a goal. But I didn't expect all the trauma to unfold after that. With Fratesi scores. Credit to him, number one, because the concentration to be the first guy off the bench. It's difficult. It's hard. He comes up big for me in a lot of important moments. And then from there, it just turns into absolute chaos. Verona are awarded a penalty. And Henri, who's the one who scored it, misses the 2-2. And Inter get all 3 points. There's also the controversy of the VAR, but I think we'll put that aside for the moment. Did you guys saw the game? What'd you think?
I did, and I was pinching myself. I said, this cannot be happening. Please, don't tell me that Inter is gonna win the game and all the stuff. So sure enough, then I got myself, oh my God, they got a penalty, Verona, on a stupid challenge that...
Darmian.
On the box with Darmian. And then this guy here, Henri, which is not living up to the name of his predecessor. He wound up doing that damn thing from the 11 meters over there. I said, one more. Everything is lining up. All the stars are lined up for Inter to win the Campionato.
Well, they are winter champions officially because we're halfway through. And since 2000, only 7 teams who were winter champs didn't go on to win the Scudetto. Inter's also the most improved team since a year ago. They have 11 more points within the squad. And I feel like a game like this last year, maybe it's cliche to say, but they wouldn't have won this game.
Mm-hmm. No, this year they have everything lining up.
Yeah. How do you feel?
I mean, no, I agree with you on that. But then again, how much are you going to put on the Verona missing that penalty too?
And what about on the ref?
Sometimes you need things to go your way.
No, I get that. I get that part also. And Verona, to give credit to Verona too, Verona didn't look like a team that was in relegation zone at that time. They kind of held their own.
They did.
Played pretty tough defense. But, those penalties that determine you, they blow the whistle right after you kick it. There's the absolute last chance. He couldn't amount to and handle the pressure there. So,
what'd you think?
Well, I didn't get up at 6:30 in the morning, but I watched the last 10 minutes. What a drama on that game. Mamma mia, they were going. Inter, I think they, because of the way things happened, they missed the penalty, they scored, there was something controversial there. They better start winning and getting a few more points from Juventus, because if they are only 2 points from Juventus, they're not going to win the Scudetto.
Wow. Really?
And things went their way in that game. Mm-hmm. They better get 4, 5, or 6 points from Juventus If they stay at 2 points from Juventus, they're not going
to
win.
I mean, they have been going
through Champions League coming.
Like this moment, if I think about the last month, and I told Joe this too, I remember so many times where there was one game they even played with three center backs that were all missing. Right. So they've missed a lot of key players. They've had Dumfries that's injured, Cuadrado that's injured. So for me, I actually feel the opposite. I feel like the fact that they already have this gap and they were going through a tough moment, they managed the Champions League group stage, they're out of Coppa Italia, whatever, it's fine. The fact that they've done that actually gives me a lot of hope for where this Inter are. And I will say there's a feeling around Inter in the way that they are able to come back where I knew they were going to come back. But I will say I have the same exact feeling about that Juventus, because even when they were down against Salernitana, you knew they were going to come back and win. And that's not something that you could put your finger on, but it's something real in leagues, and both of those teams have it.
I agree. Gaetano, I agree with you too. Plus also a quick note, Juventus and Inter don't have any AFCON players, which is... Some other teams like Milan and Napoli.
Nobody's leaving from the squad to go play the African Cup.
Exactly.
Right,
so that's a good point. That's a big advantage there. And plus, Gaetano, I think you're right. Inter should have to pull away from Juventus a little bit, because in February, Champions League comes rolling and Allegri and Juve are chilling for those Wednesday and Tuesday nights. But Inter playing that extra game. So those tired legs could mean a few extra points.
To me, they need 4 or 5 points to secure the Scudetto. Two points will not do it.
The only thing I will say, the only criticism that I have for this Inter, because I don't really agree with you guys on that, the only criticism is the other rotation striker for them. Because Arnautovic, I loved Arnautovic. I thought he was going to do really good. He's missing a lot of chances. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not that guy that could come in. And my fear is, if Thuram or Lautaro comes out, can they maintain that? Do they bring in a guy in January to... be a rotation, because Sanchez is not available. No, they need one striker. For me, they need
Inter, one striker. Yes. Oh my goodness,
they play with two strikers.
The midfielder, they score. Barella, Çalhanoğlu.
They play with two strikers.
For me, they need a striker.
They play with two strikers.
You go for the overkill.
So I read today that Lautaro scored more goals than Salah and Haaland.
In the calendar year?
Yeah.
He had, I think, 29 goals in the calendar year?
2023, I believe.
In 2023. Yeah. He's been unbelievable.
Your best bet for Juventus to overtake Inter is that Lautaro gets hurt. I'm telling you.
Let's talk about the controversy.
Let's talk about the controversy, which is very important too. Listen, you know, if we can see with naked eye that Bastoni, he elbowed the guy on the penalty box, and then the action moves forward and it goes into the other box, and then with a lot of luck, Frattesi wound up putting the ball behind the goalkeeper. You have to have the decency, at least, not the referee, but the people on the VAR to say, hey, by the way, you might want to look at this. Why they don't do that? Why is the same person? I heard that this person at the VAR, I'm not going to make any names. I mean, everybody's on the paper anyway. It's not the first time that he's doing this thing here, and it has been demoted to just check the VAR on the Serie B.
Which is also, that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Don't put him anywhere.
I saw Gigi Juve tweeted this, and I completely agreed with it. Why is a guy that made a mistake getting demoted to Serie B to go make more mistakes? Why is he not going back to class or to a school or to whatever for refereeing? How does it make any sense that we make him go referee a Serie B game, number one?
Put so much pressure on the
referee. I wouldn't even send him to your tournament in Florida, because it would be damaging you on the over 95. 85, sorry.
No. You are 75. I'm 65.
We'll see in the spring, guy, down right when you beat him.
Two miles.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean it.
What do you think?
Is it a question? Is it time for a challenge? Is it time for that the coach get a challenge? Like one in the first half and one in the second half?
Right? Their president.
So that, in a particular case like this, if the coach or whoever's watching say, hey, I want to review this. I want the VAR to review this. Then you throw the flag.
I mean,
and
if we still right see here. Incidents like this, why not?
Cazzini, who's the president of Serie A, came out and said that they could implement challenges, which is something obviously we talked about here.
What does that mean? Cool. Who's up to? Who is up?
They have to go through the refereeing federations. Okay. To give credit to Italy, I know we have so many mistakes. There's a lot of problems. Even Premier League, though, you watch Premier League, they have a disaster with their VAR. Mm. To give credit to Italy, we do change pretty well. Like, we're at least quick at implementing stuff. I'm not saying I agree with everything, but I could see them implementing this challenge system.
I would like our audience to have their what they think. If it's a good idea to have a challenge, maybe one in each half for the coach?
The only thing I'll say is that I feel like I can't believe how big the conversation has become. The refereeing, for sure, I agree, it's bad. But some of the things that I've seen, you know, with Marotta League, Inter getting this, for me, it's always the same thing. It's extremely exaggerated. Every big team gets help. Every big team gets a little bit of favor. It's always like that because
except
there's more
AC
eyeballs.
Milan.
No, it's not true.
You guys
there's
have
mistakes.
The most penalties on there's the penalty.
There's mistakes at every level. You know the difference? When Torino plays Salernitana and there's a mistake, it just doesn't make it on the front page of every newspaper. We don't talk about it. But there's a lot of mistakes that you watch, and referees are humans and they're making mistakes. But I always feel like there's that extra bit of judgment. If you make a call against a big team, you're going down to Serie B. And the fact that I've heard so much against this, I don't believe. I don't believe in the favoritism. I don't believe in any of that. One specific team.
But Marco, listen to me. We are now at the point that we needed to check the checkers. In other words, the VAR is supposed to do us a favor. But now we are at the point that we started even to questioning their ability to see those things or to be more objective about it, what's going on the field. And now the checkers, they need to be checked. Okay? Number one. Number two. The media that we have right now is so much powerful. Before, the coach, Gaetano can testify right now, the coach was sitting on the bench with his assistant and a couple other massaggiatori just in case of the medical staff and all the stuff. Now, in every bench right now during the game, you have people with the pad that they in virtual time, in no time, they can actually review the play. Because
Gasperini did that on the penalty for Roma.
And they do it. So you're telling me, I am reviewing the play right there in real time, as just a second after the play has happened. And then you're not allowing me to challenge your call on the field. I mean, this is crazy. The least that the VAR should do is at least to ask the ref. I said, hey, why don't you look at it? That's it. I'm not saying that the ref cannot make a mistake. The ref should be making some mistakes because, you know, he doesn't have the 360 visual. It's not on the right position to make the judgment call, the right call all the time. But the VAR, they do it. And now that everybody's got the pad and they have the tablets and they have the laptop and they have all of those medias available to themselves, they ought at least to respect the people that they know. Everybody's watching. You cannot really fool anybody anymore the way you used to. Now everybody's got the phones and we have the tools to be able to check whether something went wrong or whether, if something was fair or unfair.
The scary thing is it's just the amount of debate and the amount of gray area where you hear people like argue, you know, we have rules, we have a system. And it feels like this was one of the first times where I felt like we are understanding less and less what the rules are. There's not that clear cut. I don't remember this always being a thing. You know, when I was growing up, talking about, maybe it is because it's more highlighted now. We have so many more reviews that's why we talk about it more. But there's something weird about the way that things are handled. And the fact that it's happening in multiple leagues, across multiple leagues, is also something scary. Let's move on. Let's go to Juventus, Salernitana, who this was always going to be a different game than the one that they played 3 days ago where they beat Salernitana 6-1. Because Salernitana, I checked, they played 6 different starters than they did in the first game. Salernitana do not care about Coppa Italia. They are fighting for their life. They're fighting for salvation. They had to throw that competition away. Juventus scored 6 goals. This game was different where Salernitana were up 1-0 for a lot of it. Juventus missing their chances, missing their opportunities. Not really a lot of spark without Federico Chiesa. There are a lot of things that we already know. But Yildiz look good again starting. The guy's so good when he gets going dribbling. I mean, he's amazing. But Juventus come from behind and they win. And Dusan Vlahovic, again, scoring the important goals. And we posted it. He scored 7 goals in Serie A. It's earned Juventus an extra 8 points. So it's always been the decisive goal. Either the one that ties against Inter or the one that makes them win against Salernitana. So he's come up big for Juve so far.
Don't forget that beautiful assist too that I gave.
To who?
No? No. You guys know what I'm talking about?
They counted him as assist?
Well,
I don't think they
shouldn't have technically been assist. Even though you messed it up the shot. Did you guys see the goal? The Ealing Jr. goal? Ealing,
yeah, he missed it. He missed it. That's not an assist.
That's not an assist.
But shouldn't technically that's an assist?
No.
Why not?
You missed the shot.
Yeah,
because you didn't pass him. He didn't pass the ball.
Technically, you have to pass the ball. Where do you
understand? In the beginning, I said, what the hell is he talking about?
I know, you guys are so quiet.
He missed the shot.
You guys
totally
are so
missed
quiet.
The shot.
Go on.
So, Juventus.
Oh.
So, I'm not a big Allegri fan, but Allegri is doing a good job. with the young with these young players. He's really doing a good job. And one thing about Allegri that the guy has always done well is he knows when to make a substitution. But not from this year, even for the past, when Juventus was not, he knows when to make the substitution. And when the guys go in, most of the time, these guys, they score. But going back to Allegri, I mean, this is Salernitana. Yeah, they played, but I want to see them playing at high level, and I want to see them getting to the next level. And I don't think that you can get there with Allegri. So even though I like what he's doing right now, I like the young players, but for the future, and he's going to be there. He's going to be there with Inter. He's not going to leave them. So Inter, they have to take the, when there's a chance, they have to take that opportunity to make a few more points. But for the future of Juventus, you know, you need to start thinking if you want to go to Champions League and you want to do well, you want to play against Bayern, you want to play against PSG, you want to play against Man City, you want to play against Real, is not the future for you.
Well, what he's done right now with the squad that's available,
because
you look at Juventus, I mean, technically, these guys don't want the ball. Like look at the back three, for example. They can't play out of the back. They're not that type of style. When a squad plays a low block, they don't have that same ability. So the fact that he's getting Juventus to challenge with Inter, who for me is much better on paper, says a lot about him as a coach. And he's got everybody bought in, which is one of the most important things that you have to do as a coach, is you got to get 11, not even 11. You got to get 20 guys to all believe the same thing and to keep guys on the bench coming in fresh. You mentioned it, Ealing Jr., who comes in and scores a goal. The guy's been rumored to leave the entire mercato. That's not easy for a young kid who's not getting a lot of playing time to say, you got to come in. And he did a much better job than Kostic, who for me, Kostic, when he plays for Juventus, he is so one-dimensional. It's the same move every single time. He will never invert. He'll never cut in. It's always across with his left foot. Yeah, he's got 4 assists on the season. But for me, when Kostic is there, they play bad. They don't play a good style of football.
You got McKennie and Rabiot that they stepped up way over the top the level of their playing. But anyway, I wanted to just... Gaetano mentioned Bayern before and all the stuff. Guys, today the bad news is... I said, how can we start the podcast? I totally went out of my mind. Beckenbauer died. So it's a very sad news for all. I mean, you guys weren't even born when this guy was playing. But Beckenbauer was one of the top on his role. But I will say probably the top on his role. This was... one of the best libero when the libero position was played in this game. It was really the top. They used to call him the Kaiser. And the trio that made the Cosmos very famous was Pelé, Beckenbauer, and Kinaldo. So the people that used to go to the stadium, Joe was telling me that he used to go to watch them all the time. So it's a very, very sad news. But, you know, I was hoping that his age would not be that young. I mean, 78 is not that.
They said he wasn't doing well for a while.
It was not well. If he was maybe 88, I would be probably more at peace for myself. But 78 is not an old age.
How was he? You always brought up Beckenbauer to me.
So Beckenbauer, I was 13 years old, and we were playing Italy Germany. I think 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and. And all my friends says, you know, we're going to watch the game. And Nonna said, no, you're not going anywhere. He goes, I'm not going to wake you up. So I don't know what happened. I woke up like 20 minutes before the game started and without any alarm clock or anything. Because the game was in Mexico, 1970.
And you were where?
And I was in Sicily. And my friends were going to watch the game. And they say, okay. And I woke up 20 minutes before the game. I don't know how. It was 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I went to see the game, Italy-Germany. It's been reported as the game of the century.
Really?
Yeah, for the World Cup. It's one of the best games ever. Italy's winning 1-0. Boninsegna scored in the beginning of the game. And the game is on the 90th minute.
Back and forth.
It's on the 90th minute. The game is over. They cross the ball. And this guy from AC Milan, Schellinger, who has never scored a goal in his life, he ties the game in the 90th minute.
Guess what happened after
1-1. We go into overtime. And Gerd Müller scores a goal. We're losing 2-1. That's it. It's over. I mean, it's an overtime. You were winning 1-0. It's 2-1. So I think it was Burnic scores and we tied the game 2-2. We win in 3-2. Gerd Müller scores again, 3-3.
Wow.
And then Gianni Rivera
scores 4-3.
Wow.
We won and we went to the final of the World Cup.
What did your mother say in Sicilian when you put the TV on?
No. We have no TV.
We have no TV.
No, I went to some friends' house.
They had a TV?
Yeah, they had a TV. It was like one TV for the whole neighborhood.
Back then, guys, we were not
many people were in that house?
We were like 20 people watching the game.
What time was in the morning?
It was like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, because the place in Mexico is 9 hour difference.
Absolutely. Did you hear other Italians and neighboring people like watching also?
Absolutely, everybody. Like,
there was one TV in that neighborhood. We were all inside there.
In my town, 6 or 7 family, they had a TV. And back then it was one channel, Rai Uno. 10 years later, we got Rai Due. So now you have a 700 channel, 900 channel. You just got messed up.
One thing I want to say about Beckenbauer, in about the 80th minute or something like that, he dislocated his shoulder.
Yeah.
He fell down, dislocated his shoulder. They tied him up.
They put a sling on him?
They put him sling all like this. And he was playing.
No way.
He played the end of the game, and then he played the whole overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And when
you
look on YouTube, and when he touched the ball, okay, the guy at class... his passes were, even though he was the last man, he could have played in the midfield. Jeez. He was better than a midfield, because with the Cosmos he played midfield. He had a beautiful pass. He controlled everything. And his feet were like this. You know, some people walk like this.
We know some people that walk
like a penguin.
His feet were like this.
Who's that, you, Mike?
So his passes were with the outside of his foot. Mm-hmm. If you look at Beckenbauer, which is the most difficult way to kick the ball, is with the outside of your foot. And he could cross the ball. If it's on the left wing, he could cross the ball all the way into the area.
A banana cross.
Yeah, from far away. I mean, it was the class that this guy had was unbelievable.
I remember when he went to New York Cosmos, you always brought him up. That's why I thought he played in your position, the same position.
Yeah, but
he played
center midfield.
Yeah.
Because he was so good.
Yeah,
and
makes sense.
You know, they didn't have place. And they also had Carlos Alberto. So they put Carlos Alberto as last man and they put him in midfield.
Did you play against him or with him?
We played friendly games against...
So.
Yeah, wow. We played friendly game against
wow,
them.
That's crazy.
What's a story from that?
Yeah, you like brushed over like there was nothing.
I remember
like
you telling me you played against
what
them.
Happened? What happened with the...
No,
what happened
I mean,
to you? What did
the,
you do?
The guys... that game was the first game that Cabañas played.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all excited because, you know, Cabañas, this 18 years old from Uruguay, is supposed to be the next Pelé or something. So we wanted to see him play. And they played a few minutes because they had played already. So Cabañas was the highlight of that day. We were winning 2-0 at halftime. Cabañas scored 3 goals in the second half.
Mm, good luck.
Oh my God.
From that game on, it was he started every game.
Wow. Anyway,
one second. Joe, what do you think about Beckenbauer? Just give us one quick
thing. Doesn't
matter. Just give us one quick thing. One quick thing. Of all time. Yeah, that's true. I mean, Joe just said it. Beckenbauer, best defender of all time. To me, what I remember the most when I was watching him playing in Germany, eleganza coming out of the ball.
Oh, and one more thing is one of the few players, coaches that won the World Cup.
Yeah,
there's not too many. There's one. It's either
really?
One yep. or two, or two or three. He won the World Cup as a three. He won the World Cup as a player and as a coach.
Wow. What the other Zagallo
from Brazil? Deschamps.
Yes, yes,
that makes sense.
Yes.
By the way, Captains of the World Netflix, watch it. Deschamps
Captain of the
it.
World?
Captains of the World. It's really good. They document the inside of the last World Cup. Really nice. It's good because they speak to them right after the game and you see the inside, Captains you hear them the talking. World. It's cool. Anyway, let's go on. You got youngsters, right? You talked about 18-year-olds. Milan, putting in the youngsters, you get a nice 3-0 win. But really the highlight is that you ended the game, I think, with 4 players under 19. Right, and Chaka Traoré, mm-hmm. he scored, 19 years old. He scored in the Coppa Italia, mm-hmm. then he scored his first goal in the Serie A. Are you feeling good about some of these new guys
coming through?
Well,
listen, I'm feeling good before, you know, in a way, I have to feel good because by default, those kids were brought in, and not because we brought them in because we wanted to bring them in. We were forced to just use the young kids because, you know, we have a depleted squad, especially on the defense. Defense is just unexisting. We have Teo Hernandez right now playing center. And I think that's his more of his natural
playing
position.
Well, he's doing well. Amazing as a center back.
I always said that Teo Hernandez is not a fullback. It's not.
He is doing incredible as a center back. And Pioli even said that he's more concentrated when he plays as a center back, and he's in more control of the game, and that he's extending his career, which, I mean, he's still a young player.
He leaves the team less exposed on the back when he goes.
Because he keeps running forward and loses the ball and never comes back.
And he's got two assists.
But let me just say something about AC Milan right now. The last few games, I've seen that it's a team that is playing with a purpose, okay? They have a purpose. They go over there. They fight, and they just deliver on the field. That they win the game. In the last the games before, I was watching just a bunch of stats and a bunch of numbers because don't forget that we bought all of those players like Chukwueze, like Reinders. It hasn't been a disappointment, but other players, I was not really happy the way they were performing. And all I kept remember myself, I said, okay, this wide pass completed 85%, number of pass backwards 75%, number of pass forwards 30%, ball pass inside of the box. Enough of this BS. I said, we are losing our way of judging soccer because we have this stat sheet right in front of us, and even on the TVs, all they do, they put the stat sheets in front of you, and we're not really concentrating on the quality of the players.
Just the numbers, right?
Yeah, we're just looking at number of pass completed. Who cares?
No.
Ball possession, 75% against 25%, and then what happened? Many times the people with 30% possession, they wind up winning the game.
Stats are not an end-all be-all. They just help tell a story more clearly because an eye test is different. What you see and what I see could be two completely different things.
Well, what I see many times is the quality, and I see the people, how cool you are on a tough situation as a player and how well you perform under pressure. For me, that's more of a quality than if you make 2-3 mistakes passing the balls.
But you're absolutely right. And one of my favorite announcers, Fabio Caressa, he's the legend. He's the one who commentated Italy winning the World Cup. If anyone doesn't know, he has something that he says that I love and I completely agree with. He says stats will never get the passion and the understanding and when you step up in a big moment of a player. So that's absolutely true. But to the other side, stats are also an important metric. They're just not, you can't just base everything on stats.
It's a dimension of the game.
Well, if the stats they were all true all the time, then Leao should have been one of the best players. To me, Leao is underperforming. I mean, all he does.
And look at his stats. He's got three goals.
I know.
So the stats reflect that.
And this guy,
the stats reflect that.
All right. So what I'm trying to tell you is that you can be a 150 million. players that they can be sold at that kind of money. But then at the end of the day, what are the numbers? How many goals did you score? 3 goals? They're not that many. Mm-hmm. They're not that many. You're not cutting the mustards for me.
Okay. You went on a tangent a little bit. I was doing something positive.
But I love AC Milan, don't get me wrong. I love AC Milan.
Thanks for clarifying.
This is to tell you that I'm not biased. I'm not an AC Milan bias.
So speaking about stats,
yeah,
Christian Pulisic has good stats. 11 goals and assists combined, 11 goal involvements, 6 goals, 5 assists in 17 games in Serie A. He's the American that's got the most goals in a single season, and he got the assist for Traore, and he's been one of the best players for Milan. For him to get the start from the get-go, he's been one of them. His stats reflect how good he's been.
But nobody's questioning Pulisic.
Pulisic,
we always knew that he was one of the top players. No. I saw him in Chelsea. In Chelsea, was one of the best.
Well, one of the things was his consistency and not getting injured. But there was a lot of people who thought Chukwueze was going to be starting over Pulisic.
No, it's not even
close. I thought that.
Chukwueze is not even close to what Pulisic can
offer. I agree.
Pulisic
is a starter of Milan at this moment. Yeah. And he's playing with confidence. He's playing with his head
but
off.
But there's also question marks when it came. Because even at Chelsea, he wasn't a starter at Chelsea. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people were saying, yes, you can say he was...
What? He played one game, then he played on the bench.
A lot of injuries, too.
Right. Yeah, a lot of injuries.
The fact that he's staying healthy, yeah. I think that we always knew the quality he has, because you watch him on the ball, he's beautiful on the ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's brilliant.
Clean, he's clean.
I mean, yeah, we could say we assumed that he was going to be better than Messias and Salismaker, but that's not saying too much. It's how much more could he give to Milan? That was,
you know what I saw? I saw a stat. I don't have the exact number. Speaking of stats, I know you love them. I saw that Junior Macias and Salamakers, both of them, to get to 6 goals, it took them like 3 years at Milan.
Combined.
Wasn't combined. No. It was each.
There was another stat then. Then it was combined.
This is the young generation. This Gen Z, they only look at the stats, Joe.
But it's true. There's a lot of stats in the game, Anto.
Yeah, what are your thoughts? Reel us in a little. We were trying to highlight some of the youngsters. We didn't even mention Jimenez, who I think looks the best of all the youngsters. The kid is really confident on the ball.
Just like what I said for Juventus, for AC Milan, they are some interesting players, there are some good players. You're good to be in the top four. You're 7 points ahead of the Champions League. So I think you're going to stay there. You're too far away to win the Scudetto. You're 9 points away. So you'll make the Champions League, but in order to do well, AC Milan, with all the Champions Leagues that you have won, one of the most
ever
in Italy.
In the world.
You need...
Jesus, you too.
It's true, though.
I know.
Okay, but that's a big thing.
It's a big thing. But in the world, there are better. So I'm saying in Italy. Wow. You need to improve. Right. If you want to do well in the Champions League and you want to win the Scudetto.
Next year.
That's why I find myself to become a Juventus tifoso, because I want Juventus to take off. To stay closer to Inter.
And like I said before, Giroud is a great player, but you cannot go forward with just Giroud. I know that Jovic is doing much better this year. He sat on the bench for
90 minutes, though.
Yeah. Oh, no, but he's playing at the full game against Atalanta Wednesday.
He's been scoring a few goals.
He's the best player in December for them.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad for me.
But for next year, and if you want it, you need to improve.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I will write it down and even see if I can put it on my stat sheet.
So going forward, sir, I think Pioli definitely deserves credit too for managing the team and dealing with a lot of the injuries and a lot of the talk. Mm. I think it's very telling that a guy like Theo Hernandez has come out and said, everything that you guys keep talking about, that he's going to lose their locker room, it's not true. We don't even listen to you. I think there's an argument to be had that you play Jimenez as a left back and Theo as a center back going forward. If it's working, I think Theo looks amazing as a center back.
Jimenez can play either or, can play left or right. He already started on that game that it was moved to the left. It was playing right before. Mm-hmm. It was he subbed Florenzi, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm. Florenzi, yeah.
Or Calabria, and then Florenzi had to be subbed, whatever the case might be. But
I would put him there. I would put him in the left and play Theo center back.
It's like a switch hitter on the on the baseball field.
But what happened with Krunic, by the way?
Krunic, I think it's
your favorite player. It's not,
I love it. I love it.
I know
Krunic.
That's why
he's one of the best.
But what he went from the teacher's pet of Pioli to now Pioli said he got to go find a new team.
No, I think he got himself almost the plane tickets to go to Fenerbahce.
But why?
And because they were putting a lot of pressure on him, and I guess the salary and the incentives that the Turks they were offering him, they were more appetizing to him. But now they found himself. Now I think it's
the opposite of what he said.
Well, now he's in a little predicament because I think he has regained the trust of Pioli and the coaching staff.
No more time for that.
There's no predicament. He's out. He's gone. He told him find a new team.
He did.
Yeah.
Well, the only Pioli one that I can just bring him back.
He was talking 10 minutes ago.
Back to life is going to be Ibra. Maybe if he gets into Ibra.
What are you talking about?
Makes a phone call to Ibra, said, hey, Ibra, can we just do something?
It's done.
I think he's
your
gone.
Best players leaving.
What's wild is that over the summer, he had an offer from Fenerbahce, and he rejected. Not he rejected. Pioli said, you're keeping him, and then they ended up giving him more money. You give him like an extra million more. Anything from Milan? More from you, or can
no.
we move on?
No,
move
that's on? It.
Just do better, right?
Let's go to Roma-Atalanta. I know we spoke about it a little bit. Mm. A game that was very different second half. I've never seen two teams look so dead in the second half, right? They all died out. It was a great first half. And then the energy levels, I think it was the clearest to me that they played too many games by the way that the game ended.
Yeah, it was strange because they both, a draw didn't help anyone really. They both needed a win to kind of go closer to the top four, compete in the European positions. And yeah, the first half, it was pretty fun. In the second half, I think they were just all gassed and there was not a lot of creativity. And to top it all off, Mourinho gets sent off with a red card, a classic red card overall. And it just makes me think about Roma in general with how they're doing. I just feel like they don't they don't have that final thing to capitalize the games to get that final goal when it's needed to get that valuable win. And that's why I feel like they're so far behind.
They're not that far behind. I think that they look better than I expected.
Really?
Yeah.
You picture them now.
I didn't think that I would have them in the top four race, but now I can make an argument that they'll finish top four. And it is because of Napoli falling down. But either way, Roma have to play their cards. And I thought they looked good against Atalanta.
They're 4 points away from the Champions League. Saying,
that's nothing.
But I'm not
that's
just,
not a lot.
I'm not just saying the point-wise. I'm talking about more of performance also compared to the players that they have now. And I just feel like,
They're dealing with so much.
I don't see as much hunger that I'd expect from a team like that. That's competing for top four. You know what I'm trying to say?
I agree with you, but you know, the way I see Roma right now, the picture of Roma will be the level of motivation of Dybala and Lukaku, and the X factor that could be Abraham coming back very soon. And
Abraham's a gamble.
If Abraham comes back even three-quarter of what we remember him doing before he got injury, I think Roma can challenge that fourth spot.
You know who is the variable? I've been super impressed with lately.
Wow.
Eduardo Bove.
Oh, yeah.
For me, he was... Mm-hmm. I know Lukaku and Dybala is always the story of Roma. Mm-hmm. I thought Bove was the best player for Roma.
What about that young kid? The 6'5 kid? I started to look at the... What's his name again?
18 years old. Dean Huijsen.
Wow.
He signed from Juventus on just a six-month loan. I thought he did amazing coming in.
Spectacular.
He did half a training session with Roma the day before, and then he steps into a match, which is a very difficult match to step into.
He looked very confident
against Atalanta. Good on the ball. He played on the right side. He played on the left side in the center back position. He was going to Frosinone. Then obviously a team like Roma calls you. It's amazing. And then Mourinho on top of that saying he wants him. This kid is talented. He's very intelligent on the ball.
Juventus player.
Too bad. Juventus wouldn't include any buyback option, nothing. They wanted him straight loan. And they're desperate for center backs. Because look at a guy like Mancini. Mancini's been playing injured for like a month.
Mm.
He was dead tired at the end of the match. He shouldn't be playing, but he's forced to. So I thought Roma looked good. They couldn't finish their chances. I don't think it was Lukaku's best night that he's ever had.
Yeah, he had a big miss.
Dybala missed a couple very good chances too. So if Dybala is on the money, believe
you
me,
know what
Roma
I saw
is going to win
this,
a lot of games.
18-year-old, what? Every time he got the ball, he gave it to Lukaku.
Smart kid.
He did.
Because he doesn't lose the ball.
You know, because when the right fullback, or they're playing with three, the guy on the right gets the ball, who does it? He give it to the right wing. It's always that pass. Or he goes back to the center. This kid, I looked at about four or five. Every time he got the ball, he went to Lukaku.
It was Mourinho instructions.
And then
Lukaku
hold the ball. He's
it's because he wants a pass completion rate. He's a smart kid.
Plus, right. Mourinho, before he got him in, he just brought him a little note. I said, this is what I want you to do. Show it to them.
About Roma. Roma, the midfielders, they don't have it. You know, this guy, Pellegrini. You cannot expect every game to be resolved by Lukaku and Dybala. I mean, somebody has to help. Look at Inter. How many midfielders help out when they don't score? Well, they help out. Nobody from Roma helps out to score a goal. To get
even
to
their wing backs.
Yeah, nothing.
The
way
they play with the like Spinazzola and Zalewski. They don't impact the game.
Nothing. And I was very disappointed at Pellegrini, because Pellegrini, I expect more to do more. And they're not going to go anywhere if they don't fix that midfield, if they don't get some help in the midfield.
Are you saying that for Pellegrini because he had that one good season? Are we classifying him as a better player than he was, or was it just one of those seasons?
No, he's got it, Mike. Pellegrini's a talent. He's got a lot of talent.
If you show me that, I expect that. Otherwise, you're not a Roma player.
So you're under of Belotti. You probably expect the same after that Torino season,
of course,
too, right?
Of course.
No, Belotti can't even come and play on Bay 8 with us. No.
They're sending him to Serie B teams. Are the only ones that want him.
Yeah. Mm. So one thing about this Roma game, two things that bother me about this Sunday, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. Okay, when it was a clear foul, okay? And when Mourinho went, he started jumping up and down. I mean, it was a clear foul. He's there. He saw it. You cannot give the guy another yellow card. You gave him a yellow card already. You give him another yellow card. But for what? Because the guy's upset that you made a mistake. Because when you look at it again, the referee made a mistake. The guy was holding him and it was a foul.
They got too much power. Okay. It's the ego.
So now you give him another yellow card. Okay, fine. Yeah. But you cannot suspend them for the next game.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's crazy.
I agree.
Why suspend them for the next game? For what? You already punished them for this game. And the same thing with Vlahovic. Why you give the guy a yellow card? For because he took off his shirt? Who cares if he takes off his shirt?
That's a rule.
That's a rule. I know there is a rule.
We're all agreeing with him.
What I'm saying is change the rule. And okay. I want to know what you guys are thinking. Change the rule. No, right. not the producer,
but
our audience.
Kids are watching, though, Gaetano.
Yeah, so change the rule.
You can't take your shirt off?
Well, yeah. Why can't you take it? I mean,
kids are watching.
What's the big deal if you take your shirt off?
They go to the beach.
Why do you put the guy in the front page of the Gazzetta dello Sport without a shirt? Why do you put him?
Blur him out?
That's right. They choose that picture for a reason.
Yeah. Don't put him there.
If it's so bad,
that you take off your shirt, how can you put him on the front page?
I agree with you.
No, that's for sure. That's
six
for sure.
Facts.
Yeah. But that's what's the reason? But Joanne, what's actual reason?
Okay, there's no point in that. Okay. Let's talk about Mourinho. That's more interesting. Because I was going to say it in the beginning when we were talking about the refereeing mistakes. I thought that was ridiculous. Mourinho even stood with his hands behind his back. These referees, they want the emotion. They want to show.
That's crazy.
But we can't talk anymore. You can argue. And the fact that it was the right call on top of that makes it more crazy. But you can't you can't speak
anymore. He probably
cursed
them out.
And you get
that's crazy.
Probably.
But
we're assuming.
But there's side referees that hear stuff also.
I don't trust the referee.
It's my issue.
There's too many of them.
Listen, here's my issue with
Mourinho. But we don't know what was being said. Who knows what he said? And
listen.
Like
I told you before, I watch the American sports too.
I would never give the referee the benefit of the doubt.
And I watch the football, and I see sometimes the coaches, they go crazy in front of the referee. They're screaming.
On basketball too.
Italian basketball coach, doesn't he lose his mind?
Yeah.
They're screaming in front, and they do it in baseball too. Okay, so... All right, you win, but don't for the next game. You're punishing him for the next game.
It's
for
so
what?
Stupid.
You see,
it was very iconic though. The fact that he got the right card and the entire stadium was just singing Jose Mourinho,
At the end of the show, it's about him. Yeah. He's very capable to just block everybody out. And I said, hey. All the lights in all of those riflettori, we say in Italian, they have to be pointed on him. All the laser beams are going on Mourinho. Mourinho is the showman. He's going to steal the show. So that's what he gets.
But he didn't really do... This was not him doing, you know, like this to deflect.
But the way he jumps up and down and all that stuff.
But on this specific case, he didn't do much. He didn't do... Not classic Jose Mourinho. Anyway, one other moment that bothered me like this. He didn't get a yellow card, but he came out with an apology. And I saw people going crazy on Di Marco because he celebrated in front of Henri.
That's right. That's wrong. Why is it wrong? You don't do that.
What are you talking about? What's wrong with that?
I don't remember.
Henri, when he missed Verona, the penalty
kick. He missed the penalty.
Di Marco went
in
and celebrated.
I didn't see that.
You don't do that.
Why
you
play for Verona?
You cannot do that.
It doesn't matter.
I didn't see it. You do that.
It's competition. It's competition, yes.
So the Verona fans were mad at
him.
That was his former squad.
People are mad because they're saying it's unsportsmanlike do that to a player.
But it's also
his former team, too.
A former team was also
okay,
a big
but
thing.
They were mad because they said it's unsportsman conduct to do that. It's competition. Enough of this. You could celebrate. You could do whatever you want.
Why did he apologize?
He knew that he did something wrong.
He
shouldn't
have
apologized. Enough with this. The guy celebrates right in front. Guess what? You don't know what Henri said too. If we want to play that game of we don't know. Henri, maybe he was talking the entire time.
It's true.
He's talking to Di Marco.
But it was also his former team out of respect too. I think that's why he made a post about it. I think that was if it was a team he didn't play for, I don't think he would have even posted about it. But since he played at Verona.
All this is a bunch of BS.
Whatever.
BS. It's like people that were mad when Argentina, when the goalkeeper was messing.
The trophy.
It's within the... Are you kidding me? Look what we do when we play foosball. You scream inside my face like a lunatic.
That's not foosball. There are millions of dollars involved in that game.
But that's even more stakes, so it gets you even more
more exactly. hype. If Ronaldo,
if their livelihood is on this. You live with emotion. Sometimes you do stuff that you don't really mean. But he didn't knock the guy out. If he hit the guy, okay, now we could have a different conversation. The guy screamed in front of his face. Is it really that big of a deal?
Set him off.
That'll be the next thing.
I felt bad for the kid. I mean, yeah, you're missing a penalty like that. That would be the highlight of all my week.
That's a lot of pressure.
For Inter not to win the game.
Anything else we missed, guys? Lazio won, three straight. Mm. We spoke about them a little bit earlier.
Fiorentina, a little disappointing.
Fiorentina, they just can't finish. They're so frustrating to watch because they create a million chances.
So many chances.
And you could see it on Italiano's face that he's in like disbelief that they don't put the ball into the back of the net and they're desperate for a winger.
I'm surprised Beltran. I thought he'd... whatever. He's new, right?
So they have two center forwards, which they thought they were going to do really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Italiano believed in Zola, and I think Joe and they believed in Beltran. There was even a fight with Roma that they really wanted this kid. He was coming out of Argentina. He was one of the best players. But the two of them, even though from what I heard from Fiorentina, Joe, that they scored a lot of goals. Mm-hmm. I think they scored the most goals, some 100 goals, you know. But these two guys are not scoring.
You're saying Fiorentina as a whole has scored. Yes. They outscored. They were up there with like Bayern Munich, Bayern Leverkusen in terms of 2023.
Right.
So I'm just saying goal scoring, like the striker position.
Yeah, these two guys and they're not scoring. They're not
and then you watch Ikone and you watch Brekalo and they have so many of these similar players that don't impact the game. They could do two good things and then they screw everything up. They're desperate for a winger. Because Brekalo has got his back packed. I mean, he's getting kicked out of the club. They don't want him anymore. But he's probably going to have to play tomorrow against Bologna in the Coppa Italia. So they have this problem. They're going for Engonj from Verona.
When is Gonzalez coming back?
It's going to be a little while. But you know why? Why are they using Barak a lot? Barak is one of the best midfielders that they have. Maybe that guy, it's always coming in, 10 minutes here, 5 minutes there. Barak is an excellent player. They fought so much to get him into the squad, and all of a sudden, Barak is sitting on the bench. And you know what? Let me finish with this. I was asking Joe, why is Frattesi not playing as much as he should? I mean, even though we're not talking about Fiorentina, we're talking about Inter. Frattesi is one of the top midfielders. If somebody like that can start on an Italian national team, why isn't being given enough space to play for Inter?
Have too it's many good very players clear
because Mkhitaryan
there,
is performing extremely well.
Yes. Mkhitaryan is better than Frattesi. I'm not sure about that.
Okay. Anyway,
we talked about
that. Do you guys think that Bologna and Fiorentina, realistically, I know they're doing well now, but can they realistically finish in the top four?
No.
This is the conversation I've been having.
I would say Fiorentina. Yes.
You think that they could finish top four?
Yes.
They'll have the strength to.
Yes.
I would love for them, one of them to.
It will be a great storm with Roma.
Those three teams that can challenge the fourth place.
Just like you guys, it's gonna be a marathon, not a race, when you guys go against each other.
So I know. We are completely out of the realm of making predictions because we made our predictions earlier. Yeah. And I've definitely flip-flopped because even before this weekend, I said, Napoli's going to come back. I figured, they're going to sign Dragosin, Samardzic, Mazzocchi. They're going to come back. Now, I really don't believe in them getting the top four. And this week, again, I'm saying that I'm flip-flopping. I'm going off my feelings. I'm feeling Roma. Something inside of me is telling me Roma's going to manage to get top four, which I didn't believe before the season started.
I would say those three. No, it's all the three of them.
Choose one. At this point,
if I have to pick it,
just right now, in your feeling,
I said
Lazio fourth.
I would say
it's a calculated choice.
Yeah. I would say Fiorentina.
You say Fiorentina. Mm-hmm. How do you feel? Atalanta. Atalanta is also a team that they like the little
sneaky,
big team. We never give them the respect they deserve.
These teams they don't give me the confidence that they can do it every week. Weekend, yeah. You know. Yeah, they win a game, they win two games, and then they lose. They win and they lose. I just out of all those teams, there's not one team that I feel like
you're it's confident. Go
that's why it's a good question.
He's gonna go on a streak and win.
I'll let you know.
So what is it? What are you feeling today? Which is the team that you would have
that's
to
what
say?
I'm saying. I don't feel it. I don't feel that. Any-
Nobody's finishing fourth.
None of them.
Right.
Let's make this a question. Yeah. Let's say I gave you $10 and I said you got to choose one. You're gonna have to put it on one. Your chip has got to go on one of the five teams.
Right now, I will probably say that out of all of them, probably Fiorentina.
Yes. Okay, so we got two Fiorentina, one Lazio, one Roma.
Two Fiorentina. That'd
damn,
be nice.
Damn. So none of us believe in Napoli. them.
Napoli deserves.
Oh, no. You're confident with that?
If he doesn't make some changes, they're going to go to Serie B. They better make some changes soon.
You just want to hope that Ludo is not listening to you right now. Otherwise,
we're going to have to bring Ludo on first.
I have always been a Napoli fan, so you know, and I always wanted Napoli to do well. But they're not doing well.
And maybe Napoli, the fifth spot.
And maybe we'll get the coefficient.
Now with Mazzarri. Mazzarri is never going to win a game.
Never know.
He's never going to win a game.
You don't think they could even finish fifth?
No. Not with this guy. No.
It's a lot of competition. Anyway, guys, thank you for watching. Talk to you soon. Ciao, ragazzi.
All right, goodbye.
And Forza?
Napoli fourth.
Forza Juventus.